So we're going to have a cold opening this evening. Is that okay? Good. It's a minute past the hour, and I was waiting on a reboot from the computer. But it just doesn't look like it's going to work out that way. So we've got this instead. Yeah. This is the horn. This program is live. It is the 23rd day of March 2016. I will probably be a little addled during the program or for the remainder of the program, or it might take me the rest of the program to remember that this is Wednesday, because to me it's Tuesday. No, I didn't wander down a wormhole or anything. It's just that when I'm planning on a regular week of broadcasting, and then something comes along and we don't have a regular week of broadcasting, it screws with my head. Okay, I mean that's just kind of all that there is, you know, to it. So that's kind of where we are. For those of you who are wondering, I tried to post, but I did so from what may well have been a cell hell dead zone. Yesterday went sideways. We had an appointment, and I got up and took Agnes, and then in the process of coming home, we began experiencing automobile problems. Automobile problems that precluded being able to get on the air last night because we were creeping and crawling our way back up the mountain, trying not to go too god-awfully fast because we didn't have much in the way of brakes. Right. But that's all sorted out now. I can happily report that, one assumes that an automobile is a mechanical device that has been subjected to rigorous engineering standards. And you know what? Sometimes inexplicable things happen. In this particular case, I found out something that I had never known before, because I really didn't think about, you know, brake pads. I mean, it's not that I don't think about brake pads. It's that I kind of assumed that brake pads are meant to stay where they are until such time as they are removed. No, that doesn't turn out to necessarily be the case. Sometimes, as my mechanic explained to me this morning, sometimes brake pads just fall out. They do, they just fall out. And that's what happened to me. And so if you know what a brake caliper looks like, you know, there's it's a hydraulic system. And there are these two posts, and they maintain the pressure on the, and then they're what pushes the brake pad up against the rotor, which causes the vehicle to slow down and eventually, you know, stop. Unless it's not there. In which case, those two posts just sort of grind into the rotor, which is what we were experiencing. And it was a most unpleasant situation. And so, yay verily, lo and behold, it's been remedied. But that's where I was. That's where I was yesterday, learning that sometimes brake pads just fall out. And yes, I will, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. Next time the car's doing something, call your motorhead friend like me before you drive. Yes, I will. I'm very, very happy that it was nothing worse than what it was. Because what it was, you know, kind of scary. It almost seemed stereotypical to be going through the winding little kiss-your-own-butt snake, the dead snake in the road, windy mountain roads that are, you know, sort of ubiquitous around here. And it, right. But yeah. So again, that's where I was. And my apologies. My sincere apologies. But the rest of the broadcast week looks rock solid. Okay? Okay. Yay. Good for us. It is 6 minutes past the hour. Again, this is The Horn. Head on RadioNetwork.com. It's where we live. And that is where you go. If you, like I, would like to be in the chat room, head on RadioNetwork.com/chatroom. You go in there, you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and zing, you're right there. And you will be met there by the merry denizens of said chat room, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators Sparky and Lottie. You'll notice I said I would like to be there. I'm not there right now. I will eventually. But part of the reason for the tardy beginning and the cold opening was waiting on a reboot from the production computer. Which we're still waiting for. And we will eventually, you know, get to. But just head on over and have a good time, and I'll be there, well, you know, when I can. Uh-huh. So, enjoy. This is also, of course, a listener-supported broadcast operation. Emphasis on listener-supported. And this has been kind of a tough week. We did not keep up. We did not maintain our position or keep up with nothing on Monday. And then yesterday was yesterday, and tonight is tonight. So we find ourselves in a hole. Measurable as somewhere around $600 deep, because we try to raise $200 every evening. So, 2, 4, 6, yep. Hopefully it doesn't get to 8. But, yeah, $600 deep, that's 1 at 600, 2 at 3. Three at 2, 6 at 100, 12 at 50. 24 at 25, 48 at 1250, 96 at 6 1/4. You get the idea. The interface for keeping the program on the air is at headonradionetwork.com/contribute, and there you fill out the interface and you put down your name and your address, and you can leave blank the two fields there that will know what you do and where you do it for 8 hours a day, and you just get to the next screen. And that's where you make your various and sundry choices. But it is rather important that we figure out a way to keep the program on the air. That is, if, you know, because there are many, 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 many of you. And it matters that the program matters to you. And it matters to me. And I enjoy our interaction. And, you know, if we could run this on unicorn sparkle pony fart power, We would, but we can't. So, there you go. Now, meanwhile, if you would prefer to help out via the United States Postal Service, you can always send a check or a money order of any amount of your choosing to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V, 25801. That, again, is checks and money orders made payable not to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, but to The Horn. And if you'll shoot me an email, I'll tell Boss Man Wayne, and he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the vehicle, when he goes to reach into the echo chamber and pull out the mail. And hopefully in between your sending it and the UPS store there receiving it, the assholes from the Klan won't steal it. That really, you know, that's one of those keys to the whole fundraising scheme, is not having your bucks stolen by the Klan. I really can't overemphasize that. So I think that takes care of all of the basic housekeeping. Yes, I'm kind of vamping along, hoping that I'll be able to at least get to the prayer meeting Wednesday music, but that's not looking like it's going to happen. So we'll have to just deal with prayer meeting Wednesday, minus the fun part where we invite the minister of music up to lead us all in the offertory hymn. We'll just treat it like the we'll treat it like the Churches of Christ. Church Christ, that's how you say it down south. Church Christ. Where do you go to church? Church Christ. And because that bunch, and they are a delightfully weird bunch, that bunch doesn't believe in musical instruments. Yes. Now, out there in the world, there's a lot of people who don't believe in a lot of things. Even though we're just past St. Patrick's Day, there are people who don't believe in, you know, leprechauns. And there are people who don't believe in unicorns. And there are people who don't believe in hobbits or hillbillies. Well, the Churches of Christ, they don't believe in pianos or tambourines or kazoos. And so they do all their caterwauling a cappella. Mm-hmm. So that's what we'll have to do. And we'll take the hymn as read, shall we? Do let's. Because you don't want to hear me sing. No. And that whole praise the Lord, blah, blah, blah. You just don't want to hear me sing that at all, ever. So we'll treat it as is, as read. It was, however, I have got to tell you, it was a lovely, lovely, it was a lovely midweek meal there in the fellowship hall. The little old blue-haired ladies of they are raring to go for spring, and we had a lovely day today. Got up into the 70s, clear bluebird sky. A little bit of wind was whipping around, reminding us that it is in fact for our brothers and sisters out there in the flatlands, it is tornado season. So you might want to have your mattress handy there in the bathroom for jumping in the tub and pulling over you when the tornado siren goes off. I'm sorry, siren. Mm-hmm. But it was a lovely day. It absolutely was. And, you know, Easter Sunday is coming up. And being as how the little old blue-haired ladies are not your Greek Orthodox or Roman Catholic types, they don't much go in for lamb. And frankly, when it comes to putting up prayer meeting Wednesday, fellowship dinner, we don't have lamb money. If you priced that lately, it's ridiculous. So instead of lamb, the little old blue-haired ladies went for ham. And they went for broke on the ham. Oh, mercy sakes, baked with that Dr. Pepper glaze. Oh yeah, and the candied mashed sweet potatoes with the pineapple and the pecans. Oh yes, and the regular old mashed potatoes, absolutely. I mean to tell you, and a green bean casserole that was just out in this here world. It was fantabulous. And pecan pie for dessert. Mercy, the deacons absolutely wiped the dessert table clean. And the poor little young'uns was just sitting there thinking about the day when they will get to be. Because we are not sexist here. And the little children, male and female alike, were sitting there dreaming of the day when they would be great corpulent deacons and be able to eat all the desserts for themselves. But the deacons, of course, did trundle their bulk up the stairs, out of the basement, out of the fellowship hall, and they went out there to stand about in the parking lot and smoke with the sinners. Mm-hmm. And that they did do until such time as I sent Carol Baker out into the parking lot to shoo them back into the sanctuary, at which point she drove them with much vigor and gusto. She drove them through the vestibule, down past the 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints and ran them clean down front here, where they're waiting, standing around with the offertory brass plates with the little velvet, burgundy blood red velvet in the lining in the bottom, and the little button in the middle. It says PayPal. Mm-hmm. Just a little button right there says PayPal. And consequently, they will here in a moment, as we simply bow our heads in silent prayer and wish fervently for the well-being of the minister of music. They will pass those plates around. You can keep one little eye cracked open a peep, just so you don't get cronked in the head, because those things are heavy and they can do real damage if they if you get whacked with one. I mean, it's not like they're frisbees. So just reach down in there and press that little button. Press that little button, brethren and sistren, and help us keep prayer meeting Wednesday coming week after week after week after week. Yes, indeed, brethren and sistren. Yes, indeed. Oh, I thought we were going to have ourselves a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle. The minister of music, actually stumbled up to one knee. He was looking a little shaky. Looked like he wanted to stand up and come down and fulfill his sacred obligations. But brethren and sistren, know it doesn't look like it is to be. No, it's not. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll just ask the deacons to pass the plates round and about. Yea, verily, and hallelujah, amen. Yes, a moment of silence. Just as I am without... No, we'll go with the silence instead. Well, that's enough of that. Silence is not so good on the radio after all, is it? No, I mean, if you got yourself a highfalutin video operation, then you can spend that time sort of scanning the congregation with your cameras, catching the ones what's peeking, and if you're peeking after the plate has already gone by, you're going straight to hell. You realize that, right? Absolutely. Well, brethren and sistren, that being the case, I'm gonna ask you to get up, just because we ain't had no singing don't mean you get to sit there. Get up off of your seats and onto your feet, and come on out from the pews, and come on down that blood-red aisle, and fall upon your knees, hot glory, at the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized Agnostic, Animated Animist, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid. And this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. In the cathedral. Amen. Glory of common sense. Brethren and sistren, I know that many of you were shaken and disturbed. Not stirred, disturbed. I hate it when the deacons start making liquor jokes before I even halfway get into the sermon. I know that many of you were shaken and disturbed by the events that transpired yesterday in Belgium. Yes, I know. The death toll was horrifying. The injuries were astonishing. It is amazing what a little bit of hate and a whole lot of C4 can do. But brethren and sistren, even as you sat there watching the media coverage as it came from Belgium, and you sat there shocked, stunned, and yet at the same time not, to see the evil that humans are capable of against other humans. Well, brethren and sistren, sometimes we need a word of wisdom courtesy of the power of the Holy Spirit to help us understand the true meaning of it all. And granted, she ain't in the Congress anymore. She's not. She left of her own volition, you know, before the grand jury could, you know, indict her. But none other, brethren and sistren, none other than Michelle Bachmann has that word of holy wisdom, or in the Greek, Hagia Sophia. Michelle Bachmann had that word of holy wisdom, and Michelle Bachmann, brethren and sistren, true follower of Christ that she is, true, zealous, adherent of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord, help! She knowed who really done the bombing in Belgium, and she knowed why they done the bombing in the Belgium. Yep. They got on the horn just as quick as everybody knew what was going on or not. They got on the horn over there to Wingnut Daily, because they've got the secret batshit crazy light signal, and they shone it up into the sky as if they were some sort of Wingnut Commissioner Gordon, and lo and behold, the phone begun to blink, and they picked it up, and lo, there it was. Batshit crazy Michelle Bachmann, 1L. Mm-hmm. And she explained to them why it was that the bombing transpired, and I have here her very own words to explain. To explain to us all the purpose of the carnage, the purpose of the more than 30 dead, the more than 200 injured, the purpose. Because nothing happens here on this here planet, brethren and sisters, without a purpose. Not a sparrow falls to the ground, nor a terrorist explodes a suitcase that the Lord God Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ, ain't got a hand in it. Mm-hmm. There it is. Maybe, because see, she was a-writing about the humiliation of that one in our White House, that Kenyan Muslim you slurper. Yes, Barack Hussein Obama. She didn't like him much going to Cuba, because she said this week a United States president was humiliated on the world stage by an aging, insulting communist dictator. Our feckless U.S. president. Feckless is a word in white America now that means black. Our feckless U.S. president appeared unfazed by the message he portrayed of American incompetence and historic irrelevance. Them some of them big words that she learned when she was going to law school down there at Oral Roberts University, getting an oral law degree. Mm-hmm. In fact, the president appeared pleased with himself and seemed to revel in his infallible cleverness. Only he could break the barriers of isolation his misguided predecessors had painstakingly built. Mm-hmm. Only Nixon could go to China, and only a Kenyan Muslim usurper can go to Cuba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right. Because, after all, our policy of not talking to Cuba, our policy of pretending that Cuba don't exist, that has worked so well ever since old Ike started the embargo and John Kennedy perpetuated it, and LBJ said, what the hell, it was good enough for John, I'll do it too. And then Nixon said, well, I didn't think much of anything that any of those people did, but, well, what the fuck, it's already there. Henry, what do you say we keep the embargo up? And Henry said, sounds wonderful, Mr. President. There's a little girl out there. It's a lovely thing. I've been tutoring her. Yeah. Anyway, and so after Nixon took flight, then Gerald Ford said, "Why mess with a good thing?" And Jimmy Carter said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, I ain't gonna bomb 'em or nothing, but it certainly seems like we could serve. Why?" And then Ronald Reagan said, "I'm not going to." No, that was Nixon. Well, Mommy, I don't want to go to Cuba. Do you want to go to Cuba, Mommy? And then H.W., who's not worth remembering how to do his accents, why not? And Bill Clinton said, you know, the era of hating Cuba is not over. And he shook that knuckle at us. And dim leader, then he came in, and he didn't try to kill my daddy or nothing, but I don't like Fidel. And then along comes the Kenyan Muslim usurper, and just ruins it all. Just ruins it all. Only he could vouchsafe freedom against attack from legions of murderous communist regimes and Jew-hating Ayatollahs. There's an Ayatollah in Cuba? Son of a bitch. Where have I been? Yeah, oh well. As happened so often during his tenure, the turn of world events humiliated him. Less than 24 hours before the Paris attacks in November, President Obama told ABC News that ISIS was contained. In a nationally televised address, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They televise it all the time. In a nationally televised address, he confidently declared the Islamic State was neither Islamic nor was it a state. Two things that both happened to be true at one and the same time. Science. And as recently as 2 months ago, in his State of the Union address, Obama minimized ISIS threats by instructing Congress not to worry. Because, you know, Congress does everything that the Kenyan Muslim usurper tells them to do, right? Of course. ISIS is just a bunch of guys who ride around in Toyota pickup trucks. They aren't Kobe Bryant. They're a JV squad. As Obama enriched Iran with $100 billion in free money. Free money! Hey, give him one of them government money checks, he done. Iran made it patently clear. Patently clear? Anybody? Let me get a dictionary, see if that even remotely makes it. Never mind. There is no deal. Nuclear jihad is the world's next phase as the Iranians illegally fires ballistic missiles. That's right, Iranians fires. I'm not just hillbillying it up. She wrote that. Ballistic missiles and covers their tracks at obviously working nuclear sites. Yeah, okay. Don't interrupt her. She's on a roll. Only Obama can't see what is happening around us every day. Perhaps he shouldn't have skipped 60% of his national security briefings. I think she's actually writing about dim leader there. Nah, all presidents look the same to her. Or maybe our president's humiliation comes in a manner so devastating it makes one wonder whether the creator of humankind isn't reminding this world of the inferiority of foolishness in the face of wisdom. Well, you know, it says right there in the Creator's holy book that people with dark skin ain't never going to be near as smart as white folks. And so maybe we just needed a reminder, as Michelle 1L tells us there. The president has once again mocked his nemesis, the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel, by cleverly turning the international press corps toward his brilliant work in Cuba, instead of covering ongoing Islamic attacks against the Jewish state, as outlined that very same day at the annual pro-Israel AIPAC meeting in Washington, D.C. See, here's the problem. There's lots of journalists out there that would have liked to have covered the AIPAC meeting. And they weren't on the plane with that one from our White House. But the AIPAC wouldn't credential them to come to said shivery. Only AIPAC's pet members of the media were allowed to be there to cover the speechify. And that means that the very few actual liberal progressive types were. You get the idea. History changed less than 24 hours later in the blink of an eye. And the rug was pulled out from under his well-laid plans. His black ass. Yep, same number of syllables. Yep. And the rug was pulled out from under his black ass. Obama's slavish press corps. Oh, she's a witty one. Oh, they certainly did teach her some high and mighty falutin writing skills there at Oral Roberts School of Lawyering. Obama's slavish press corps came to revealing the newest carnage in Brussels. Our eyes were spellbound. Spellbound? Yes, witches! Suicide vests worn by young Muslim men with a plain blue plan. Suicide vests worn by young Muslim men with a plan blew at the American Airlines counter at the Starbucks and within four blocks of our American embassy in the shadow of a neutered, ineffective NATO. Who neutered him? That's right. The Kenyan Muslim neuter and you slurper. No, not Joni Ernst, the hog neuterer. You eyes on the prize, wing nuts. It was the neuterer in chief in our White House. Damn. How many times got to tell you? The irony is no longer ironic. And of course, here's where the bloody shirt comes in. Here's where she begins to dance around in the gentle spring rain of blood. Bits and pieces of flesh and blood. Some Americans, all innocents, were scattered to further the act of conquest by Islam against the continent once enlightened by the beliefs and values of Western Christendom. Yes, the very same Western Christendom whose enlightened beliefs and values allowed women to be burnt at the stake for suggesting that it might be a good idea to take a bath once in a while. Witch! Three men committed to a false god and a doctrine of demons chose death to advance Western civilization's defeat. Because we're defeated now. Western civilization is an absolute, utter, humiliating defeat. Mm-hmm. Did you miss that? Did you miss it? No. We've surrendered. Yeah. Everybody got to get a rug. Everybody got to figure out which fucking way Mecca is, because you got to pray at it five times while somebody bellers from on top of a phone pole or a silo or some such shit. Yeah. God damn, this woman. Dumb. The stupid is strong with this one. You know, for a false god, he seems pretty powerful, don't he? I mean, that false god's getting some shit done. Don't you know? Ooh-wee! This week, some 2,000 years ago, a Jewish savior named Jesus willingly gave his life as a substitutionary sacrifice to pay for the sins of all humankind, to reconnect us with the God who made us and who, being all-powerful, did not have to murder anybody just to love us. Oh, I added that part. Never mind. Sorry. One L? Can I call you that, One L? Is that what your buddies call you? No? They just call you dipshit? Well, I'll call you One L. One L, his name wasn't Jesus, honey. His name was Yeshua Bar Yusuf. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that fella, that other fellow was named Osama bin Laden. That's how your Semitic languages work. Bin, bar, bell, bow, burp. You know, it all means son of or daughter of or kinfolk of. Because, you know, that's how you just keep track of shit over there. But he was Yeshua Bar Yusuf, which narrowed him down to being about one out of a million human beings. Because, I mean, they was Yeshua Bar Yusufs everywhere you turned. It's kind of like being named Billy Bob, son of Bubba Joe, down in Jesus land. Yes. Well, let's not get lost in the details. And it may or may not have happened 2,000 years ago. That, you know, there's some research now that suggests that the Romans weren't into using nails. Now, never mind the little thing down on the board, on the message board down there at the Shrewsbury Church of God on US 60 on the way down to Charleston, where once upon a time I saw one of those inspirational phrases they put on their bulletin boards out there by the side of the road. It said, most people use duct tape to fix stuff. God used nails. You know, nails will wiggle out after a while. What you want to use is a screw. Maybe even countersink it. But never mind. You know, they don't use nails or screws or nothing to keep brake pads in the calipers. Son of a bitch. Who knew? But no. The Romans didn't use nails. Because it was a lot more terrifying. It was a lot more shitty. It was a lot more miserable. Just kind of hang them up there on the cross and leave them there until they were so weak that, you know, things like vultures would come down and go, I think I will eat your eyeball now, and go pluck and whoop, and there you are, all one-eyed, hanging there dying on the cross. Because, you know, Marcus Licinius Crassus did that to about 5,000 people up and down the Appian Way. Mm-hmm. But we don't remember them, because they were tortured and killed. And you know what? They were killed because they believed in freedom, because they were part of the Spartacus revolt. But we don't give a shit about them. They wasn't special. They didn't have a hero mythology. Although, and this is a real true historical fact, and I am not kidding. Although, the fact of the matter is, Spartacus's body was never found, and he was a hero. Some people adored him almost on a godlike level. And, you know, your fundies every now and then will go, you know what? Buddha is in his grave. Muhammad is in his grave. Show me the grave of Jesus. There ain't no grave because he weren't buried. Death couldn't hold him down. Yeah, okay. But anyway, this compare and contrast of competing worldviews was soberingly and glaringly revealed. One religious worldview brought peace and life. Another glorified death and the cult of suicide. Wait a minute, which is which? Because down through Christian history, there's a whole lot of Holy Roman Catholic saints that got adopted by the, well, no, actually they were Greek Orthodox saints, and then they became Roman Catholic saints, because actually, although they tell you it ain't so, your Roman Catholicism is your Johnny come lately or your Mediterranean Christian religions. And then the Episcopals, they picked up on all them saints and made them saints, and your Lutherans have them. It was just sort of a general agreement that whatever the excesses of the church were, and your Russian Orthodox, they got them some saints, and they got some extra saints that are whatever. The problem is, a lot of them saints were suicidal. Only it was called being willing to be martyred, as was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, saint this and saint that, and they shot her full of arrows, and they was going to throw that one on the fire, but he said, my soul will rise upon the flames unto heaven. So they said, we can't have none of that. So they wrapped an old anchor chain around his neck and throwed him in the Danube. So I'm having a hard time sorting out which ones are the members of who glorified death and the cult of suicide and the ones who brought peace and life. Because you really can't say that Christianity's been that good at bringing peace and life. We are, after all, only three scant years away from the 500th anniversary of the arrival of the Spaniards in the new world of what they called Nueva España, Mexico, where the what's she call it there, where a worldview that brought peace and life brought chaos and death to 14, 15 million people. I mean, what's an Indian or two, right? You know, I feel like I need to go wash my mouth out with soap after a statement like that, even though I'm being a smart aleck. For 14 centuries, world history records those facts, not beliefs, that Islam sought to annihilate. God damn, this thing goes on forever. That Islam sought to annihilate first Jews, then Christians, then Muslims, then non-believers who did not agree with Muhammad's commands. Read the Quran. Read the Hadith. The sayings of Muhammad, which provokes the reader to kill infidels in order to appease their God, Allah. God, Allah. Go ahead, we'll wait. But you first, 1L, because it's obvious you haven't. Because if that woman can read Arabic, well, I'm a Martian astrogator. Astrogator, damn it! Bunch of perverts. It is worth noting that our president spent his day Tuesday playing, as he has so many times before, in the face of tragedy. He rewarded himself and his entourage of 40 members of Congress by attending a baseball game under the balmy Cuban sun against swaying palm trees. You know what? I don't care where you are. I don't think you can play baseball amidst palm trees. Now, you might be able to get a little game of catch-up or maybe a little game of hot box or something like that, but Maybe. I don't think you can even get up a good game of pepper amidst the swaying palm trees. Swaying palm trees is antithetical to playing baseball. I mean, your long fly balls just aren't going to be long fly balls. They're going to bounce off a palm tree or get caught in the fronds or something. Stupid. But you get the idea. Meanwhile, first responders in Brussels must bear the burden of cleaning up the consequences of the ill-fated decisions of Angela Merkel, Barack Obama, and other ideological merchants who traffic in the dangerous fantasy of multicultural diversity, globalization, and one-world nonsense. No, we aren't all the same. We don't believe the same things, nor do we hold to the same values. The choice is ours. Which leaders will we choose? Not little big man. Not today. Little big man? Little big man? Suddenly, Barack Obama, six feet 4 inches tall, is Dustin Hoffman? Little big man? Hire the mule, Skinner. But you get the upshot of all this. I mean, yeah, it's fun to clown around and so forth, but there is an underlying creepiness to this. See, her bloodthirsty God, who is the same thing as the Holy Spirit, who is the same thing as Jesus Christ, you know, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. That's that special miracle math made easy. Her bloodthirsty Bronze Age mono, yet somehow ironically enough triune God, couldn't just say appear in a vision.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, it's me. Listen up.
I don't really know why I called, except there's a whole bunch of people down there forever wanting me to, I don't know, give you a big cosmic noogie or something. Y'all got prayer in schools? No? Well, good. It was mighty annoying when you did. You haven't shut the churches down, have you? You haven't? Okay, good, okay. And you're not taxing the churches? Man, you're missing out. I mean, I make them give me all kinds of stuff. Schmucks. Ah, well, Barack, I just wanted to tell you to, be careful out there. And don't shake hands with any commies or anything. I'll go ahead and shake hands with commies. I mean, the boy over there, he's all full of himself, talking about how he hung out with the publicans and the sinners and the whores. Yeah, I personally think the hanging out with the whores part's a bit of a subterfuge. Yeah, I know. That's why in big words I can't use when I'm talking to the weirdos. I don't really talk to the weirdos much. I mean, you say howdy to them, and the next thing you know, they're like, oh, Lord, drop a tornado on these people. Oh, Lord, send a hurricane over there. Oh, Lord, can't you make a volcano erupt over on the Presbyterians? They're no fun. Well, anyway, Barack, just thought I'd pop by and do what you're doing there. And good luck and all that. Goodbye now. No, he can't do that. No, the bloodthirsty Bronze Age God that 1L Michelle worships has to kill 200 or has to kill 30 or more innocent human beings in Belgium, for fuck's sake, to get the attention of a guy who is trying to create a little rapprochement and less likelihood of further bloodshed in his own hemisphere. Now, either 1L Michelle is crazier than a sprayed roach, or her God is a complete and absolute psychopath, or imaginary, or
You get the idea. Yeah, as Ray down in Florida points out, say cheese. Funny how you never see a painting of the hundreds of thousands the early popes hung on a cross covered in lard and lit on fire because they didn't love Jesus enough. I know. Marty points out, Bob, the stupid is too strong with this one. Even in your voice, I feel precious brain cells dying. In my voice? In my brain? And then there are the finer points of theology. But no, just so you know, the loving God murdered more than 30 human beings and hurt really badly 200 more because Barack Obama went to Cuba or didn't nuke Iran or didn't stop being so gall dang black. Now, is that a God you want to worship? Because it's darn sure not one I want anything to do with, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Wow. You know what? When you've gotten to Brother Deacon Asa, you've crossed a line somewhere. Bob, may I petition the horn to Grandfather 1L Michelle O'Bachman? O'Bachman, I like that. Out of Moran Monday. Or perhaps some type of a temporary restraining order until we can drain out some of the backup of stupid from the cesspool. Yes, I know, it ain't Monday. Well, does that mean she's okay for prayer meeting Wednesday, Brother Deacon Asa? I'm a little confused here. But that's, you know, that's her God. It runs around murdering people. Just because he doesn't like that one in our White House. That is truly a sickening God. You know what? That's not a God. That's a demon. 1L's talking about demons all the time and whatnot. That is. That's a demon. Yeah, I tell you what, brother and sister. We got. There's nothing like a Wednesday when we can just sit back and revel in the miraculous, mysterious glories of faith. Take for instance, Brother Donald Lafferty. Brother Donald Lafferty. Is a preacher of the gospel. Brother Donald Lafferty has been called by God Almighty to preach the gospel of Christ's love and to save souls and bring people to Jesus. But along the way, Brother Lafferty, who is 71 years old, well, he ran afoul of the law, which means he got persecuted. Because, of course, when a Christian runs afoul of the law, they're getting persecuted. I don't know how Brother Lafferty didn't make it into 1L Michelle's little column there, because this is probably Obama's fault too. Everything is. He was a preacher there at your Beach Grove Church in in Missouri Stan. Brother Lafferty is apparently even at the age of 71, he is Brother Lafferty is apparently a considerable stud muffin, because he got to romping which rompin is another way of saying that Latin term in flagrante delicto, which means in bed. Brother Lafferty got to romping in the name of Jesus with Brandy Lee Hicks. Brandy Lee. Mm-hmm. Brandy Lee Hicks was 33 years old. And Brother Donald was a romping with her. Brandy Lee was married and a member of Beech Grove Church, along with her husband, Christopher Hicks, age 34. Now, it was working out for Brandy Lee because Donald Lafferty paid all their bills, and he bought her a couple of cars. Uh-huh. Now, where did he get the money for the cars? It don't pay that much to be the preacher of your Beech Grove Church. And as it turns out, because, and this too, of course, is Christian persecution. Yeah. He had been, Donald Lafferty, age 71, had sort of, he'd sort of cleaned out Mama's bank account. He ripped off his mama, in the name of Jesus, of course. He ripped off Mama to the tune of $87,000. Mama, 89 years old. Right. You could say that Brother Lafferty had women problems. Because he had Mama there, who was, well, probably didn't care much for having $87,000 stolen from her, in the name of Jesus. And then you got then you got Brandy Lee Hicks, who's all the time wanting a new Daihatsu. And then there's his wife, Mildred. Mm-hmm. And Mildred began to think that something was up. Later on, when she was interviewed, Mildred said that that morning Donald made her breakfast, and she said her coffee tasted horrible. And it's like Maxwell House, good to the last drop, and you got to wonder what's wrong with that last drop. But her terrible taste in coffee made her feel so bad that all of a sudden she felt like she needed to lay down on the couch and get a little nap. And she woke up a little bit later, and she seen that Donald, in the name of Jesus, was kind of hauling on this big old chest that was full of family heirlooms, taking it out of the living room there. And he said, when she asked him, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "I'm tired of stumping my toe on it." Mm-hmm. Well, there was a reason Mildred was all sleepy-like, and it wasn't because he had put a sleeping spell on her in the name with the powers of the Holy Spirit. No, you're right, Carol Baker. That's not coffee creamer, honey. No, it weren't, and it didn't taste. And by her, coffee tasted terrible. Now, I don't much care for them flavoring creamers neither. I mean, I like a little half and half in my decaf, but I don't go in for your Irish cream or your vanilla amaretto or any, you know, if I want amaretto in my coffee, I'm going to pour amaretto in my coffee. Or Kahlua flavor. You know, Kahlua's liquor that's made out of coffee in the first place. Well, none of that meant. No, he drugged her in the name of Jesus because this guy's Christian. And he needed to drug her because he needed to get the rest of the shit out of the family house I don't know if it was a parsonage or not, but it turned out he had rented himself a storage space where he had the family computer squirreled away and a whole bunch of valuables. And you see, what he had done is he told Brandy Lee Hicks and Christopher Hicks that he would pay them $15,000 to burn down his house, and that he would throw in a $5,000 bonus if Mildred was in it when it burnt. And so he gave him a key, and after Mildred was nice and sleepy-like, and he'd gotten the chest out, they went in, and Brandy Lee and Christopher poured gasoline on the floor around Mildred before they set it on fire while she watched. And at the trial, Brandy Lee Hicks, in the name of Jesus, I'm sure she had to swear an oath, so help you God, right? Doesn't that kind of get invalidated somewhere along the way? I know. She said, Chris poured the gas around the couch and poured some on Mildred. I stood behind him and watched when he lit the fire. Then we turned around and walked out. And apparently the drugs was wearing off because Mildred woke up long enough to dial 911. And they come and they doused the fire. And the fire investigator showed up, the fire marshal. And he said, you know what this is? This is what we like to call in the business arson. And occasionally attempted murder. Now all this goes down in Scott County, Missouri. And Donald, in turn, filed an insurance claim, which I guess he hoped was going to be enough money to cover the $87,000 he stole from Mama. And then he moved to Vermont from Missouri. Mm-hmm. Vermont. And he got arrested in Massachusetts. Now, here's the fun part. At trial, Donald Lafferty got convicted of all of this. Murder for hire, thieving, carrying, all of it. And the judge sentenced him to 50 years in prison. For a 71-year-old, that's pretty much a life sentence. But the judge, the trial judge there in Scott County, allowed him to post a $250,000 cash bond, which would mean, if Missouri works like most of the rest of the country does, it would mean that he had to put up $25,000 ice cold cash in order for a bondsman to do the bond. Now, just sort that out. The judge did put a condition upon the bond. He let him file the bond pending his appeal of the guilty verdict. One wonders what the error was in that case. He posted a $250,000 cash bond. But the judge said, now, I'm going to make a condition of your bond that you don't contact your mama or your wife. Interestingly enough, not ex-wife. Wife. Meanwhile, Brandy Lee and Christopher Hicks have been charged with attempted murder and first-degree arson. Where's the conspiracy charge? Jesus! But remember, remember, everyone, please. They're not perfect. Just forgiven. Because see here, as Easter approaches, it's worth remembering that there ain't nothing you can do on earth. Not a thing. There ain't a thing you can do but what Jesus Christ in his love won't forgive ye. You can even rip off your mama, steal all your household goods, bang a 33-year-old woman married to a 34-year-old man, and then hire the both of them to set fire to your house and burn down your wife. And all you got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. And he looks and he says, okay, let's see. Conspired to burn down the house, tried to get your wife murdered, ripped off your mama, had sex with a married woman more than half your age. Done! And there you go. Isn't that... Well, as the late, great Baptist comedian Jerry Clower was wont to say, ain't God good? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. And so there we have it. Another instance of our secular world's war on Christians. As Brother Deacon Gerald points out, now, Brother Bob, I'm sure that Brother Donald was just trying to spread God's good word and maybe something else. And if I had it handy, this is where I'd cue up Frank Zappa's Why Does It Hurt When I Pee? That's true, Carol Baker. There is a caveat to everything that Jesus will forgive. There's some stuff that he just ain't going up with, which he will not put, you know, like being a homo gay. Jesus won't forgive that. Just lake of fire. There you go. Oh, I tell you what, it's a perilous time to be a Christian, brothers and sisters. Perilous. Perilous indeed. You're just following the orders of your Lord and Savior and setting fire to your house and ripping off mama and having sex with a 33-year-old woman. I'm glad there aren't any photographs involved. And then bang, there you are. Persecuted for your faith. Well, brother and sister, and I'm glad to tell you, I'm happy to tell you, that we have taken a bite out of the $600 budget hole that we have here. Thank you very kindly to Glenn. And thank you very much to Jack in Shreveport. And thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, who says, praise the Lord Jeebus for fixing Brother Bob's brake calipers. Which time, Asa? Which time? And I can happily report that we now have only $500 to go in fundraising. And it would be like a little Easter miracle. Let's see, tomorrow's, oh no, this is, yeah, this, there's all them days, the morose Monday, but today's a smudgy Wednesday, ain't it? Yeah, it's the day when you get a little bit of fireplace ashes put on your forehead to show that someday you, never mind. Yeah, oh well. Let's take a little break, brethren and sister, and it's 10 minutes past the hour. We got more tales of heroic faith in action, if we really must, And we got some other news, real news, too. This is, in fact, listener-supported conversation radio. And you're the reason it's on the air. You're the reason it's been on the air for, yea, verily, more than these last 12 years. This is the horn. I'm Bob, and we'll be right back. Wait a minute, damn it. It all gets so complicated. There we go. We'll be back. Never question the motives of the almighty creator of the universe. I can remember many a time when I asked myself, why is there an REO Speedwagon? Why, Lord, why? And you never know that years and years and years, because I was asking this question in the old early to mid-80s. Years and years and years later, you'll find yourself behind a microphone talking about a good, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian paying money to have his wife burnt to death, and there it'll be, REO Speedwagon, keep the fire burning. It just kind of makes you feel special that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Well, I kind of hate to do this, but we got more stories of Christian persecution. It says right there in the book, suffer the little children to come unto me. And unto is another way of saying onto. And so we have here the story of the persecution for this prayer meeting Wednesday. The persecution of God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered youth pastor Lucas Savage. Savage. Nope, different Savage. This guy's name's really Savage. Lucas Savage is 37 years old, just 4 years older than Brandy Lee Hicks out there in Missouri. This fella's up in Maine. He's co-director of Youth Haven Ministry, and he's a member of Canaan Calvary Church, which, although entirely separate from New Haven Youth Ministry, Youth Haven Ministry, I'm sorry, has given tons of money, lots of money, to the youth ministry. Canaan Calvary Church has. And 37-year-old Lucas Savage, the youth pastor, he and his traditional family values Christian marriage wife, well, they were really active in the church. They were churchy people. They helped organize things, and they coached youth soccer. Uh-huh. And one woman, Christine Rice, described Lucas Savage as a decent guy. Mm-hmm. That whole decent guy thing didn't work for everybody, though. Matthew Clark was his neighbor, and he said he just acted differently. But everyone has their own thing, I guess. There at the Youth Haven Ministry, they give Bible lessons to children and teenagers. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It turns out it turns out that Lucas Savage he was persecuted by local law enforcement, which is another way of saying taken into custody this past Friday. And he was charged with sexually abusing a girl younger than 5 years of age at his own home in the ironically named town of Clinton, Maine. Now, Christine Rice said she asked her daughter if he'd ever been creepy to her. Of course, Christine Rice's daughter is 11 years old, and she played soccer for Savage's team in the Canaan Community Sports Program. And No, her daughter said he's always been nice. Christine Rice said, I'm just in shock over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Well, lucky for Christine Rice's daughter at the tender age of 11, I guess her daughter was a little too old for Lucas Savage. As Carol asks regarding the 5-year-old, what was she wearing? Meanwhile, Jessica Howe, who went to church with Lucas Savage, said, I hope somebody will take charge of the program because it's still a great program. It's a place where the children can go to learn about the Lord. Somebody has to be out there that can do it. Do what? Teach about the Lord. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just think, this is what your tax dollars protect in the First Amendment. Ain't it beautiful? It is. It's just beautiful. Note coming in from our buddy Philip over in Maryland. Thank you for joining in the merry little band of monthly subscribers, Philip. I really appreciate it. We all do. Thank you to one and all of our, because there are times when fundraising falls through the floor and the subscriptions are what helps us keep the bills paid every month. Thank you, one and all. It's real easy. You go to that first page there at Contribute, and if you want to, you can put in however much, and you click the little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly. Yeah, and that's how you join the merry band. But under the subject line of brimstone and house fires, Philip observes, Bob, I blame the police. The case had become cold, even though we have had so many examples of cuckolded husbands helping their wives try to burn down the house and kill the wife of the clergyman with whom the wife had been having an affair. That's just funny. Philip's good that way. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been engaged in reading a note from Philip and I've had to microphone in the middle of the... because of the snorting. As a former resident of my beloved People's Republic of Massachusetts, Philip continues, I have to think that the man of God fled there because probably though that clergy had immunity from prosecution. Damn fool. Should have realized that it wouldn't apply to him because he slept with a 34-year-old woman. That is, an adult. The immunity only applies if the other party is younger than 18. Better than that, younger than 12. I mean, prepubescent even. Because there definitely has been some, there's been some immunity along those lines, let's just say. Yeah. So we'll try to, I don't know, there's another one. Of course, there's always another one, and another, and another, and another, and another. I mean, yeah, we really can't. This story had a little bit of noise around it. It comes out of Arkansas. Haley up there, who is an activist for the LGBT community, made me aware of it. After this, we do other news, but you can't just blow past this one. Story comes out of the Arkansas Times, and it's the story of a city councilman there in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the home of the University of Arkansas, the largest institution of higher learning in the state of Arkansas. Yeah, he's a city councilman there, and he is a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalist. And, he has conservative family values, right? Yeah. Among other things, back when he was running for office, he got a $2,000 campaign donation from Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar, the parents of child sexual molester Josh Duggar, By God, I'm beginning to sense a theme here, aren't you? Well, when he was running for office, the reason he got the $2,000 was because he promised that he would overturn the anti-discrimination ordinance in Fayetteville, because he, being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, was all worried about whether or not people were going potty the way that Jesus wants people to go potty. Really? Now, meanwhile, the anti-discrimination ordinance would keep landlords and from being able to evict somebody or fire somebody, in the case of a business owner, an employer, because of their sexual orientation, or their gender identity, or their socioeconomic background, or their marital status, or their veteran status. But even good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalists with traditional family values, even they like to go out to dinner once in a while. And so it was with John Latour, who apparently went out for a bite, of food. Oh, yeah, I know. Thank you, Devin. By the way, the Duggars is back on the air. Yeah, you knew that wouldn't last. The morals and decency can only be trumped money can only be trumped by morals and decency for so long. Yeah, I know. So anyway, there at Kerry Arsaga's restaurant, John Latour apparently was moved by the Holy Spirit to wonder about the gender of an individual in this very, very busy establishment. Now, the woman, and she was a woman. Yeah, you ever notice these family values types? They never pick on some big, burly, knock them through a wall. No, they never pick on one. No. Gavin Smith described it on Facebook. Gavin Smith said, yesterday, Fayetteville Alderman John Latour, Ward 4, assaulted a dear friend in public, demanding they choose a gender in a packed restaurant. He demanded she pick a gender, declaiming loudly. I mean, just use your imagination. I don't know what Kerry Arsaga's restaurant looks like. But you know what? Just imagine a packed restaurant in a college town. There, you've probably seen one. And, you know, so it's buzzing and noisy and everybody's having fun, when suddenly the evangelical, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian says, honey, why don't you just pick a gender and stick with it? Because he's all obsessed with what people have between their legs, because he's a fucking Christian, and that means he's fucking weird. I can't tell if you're a man or a woman. Well, as Gavin Smith wrote, he demanded she pick a gender, declaiming loudly that he couldn't tell if she was a man or a woman. She's not transgendered and does not in any way present any ambiguity about gender in any way. She's a woman. John Latour then explained that he was a man, and I can prove it by dropping my pants. You know, somehow that was never on the list of what my list down there in the basement of the Baptist church that the little old blue-haired lady stuff. That was never on the list of things. What would Jesus do? Drop his pants in a crowded restaurant and swear that he could prove he was a man? fucking weirdos. Well, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, which is kind of right-wingy, if I understand, making a joke of the word Democrat, if I understand correctly. They reached out, figuratively, to John Latour, because you wouldn't want to reach out to him physically. I mean, what are you reaching for? Hey, you want to see what a man I am? I can drop my pants for you and show you I'm a man. Hello, ladies. Yeah. So, he then said that he was misunderstood because he'd said he asked the woman who worked there at the restaurant to dance. Now, what kind of Christian is this man asking a woman to dance, I tell you? Everybody knows that dancing is just a two-step straight to hell. He said, but John Latour said, you can declare you're a man or you're a woman, whatever you want to. I'm not going to ask a man to dance with me. What I said to her was, I'm a man and I can prove it. One gets the idea that there is probably also a bar in Kerry Arsaga's restaurant. And he went on to say that these godless secular liberals who were persecuting me, they took, and this is a quote, they took my words exactly the wrong way. Exactly the wrong way. You okay? See, they know I'm conservative. They're terribly disappointed I'm on the city council. All that this is about is to discredit John Latour and make him look like a buffoon. John, buddy, can I call you John? I don't think anybody has to make you look like a buffoon. Hey, honey, you want to dance? I can drop my pants and show you I'm a man. No, nobody really has to make much of an attempt at all when you're doing that. You know, in all the years back in college, and I got to admit, I don't frequent a lot of places that have a lot of dancing anymore, because A, there ain't a lot of places that's got a lot of dancing anymore, and B, I don't dance, and never did too awfully well. I dance about as well as I sang. But I did being a college student back in the days when we rode our dinosaurs to class. I did frequent some late night places where there was some thumping disco music, and there were lots of young women there to dance with, and every now and then I'd screw my courage to the sticking place. My courage, damn it! And I'd walk up and, shucks, I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to or anything, but I was kind of wondering if we could dance, and I'd say, fuck off! And then I'd go and just, you know, stand around. But of all the times that I ever asked a young lady to dance, never. And I will go so far as to say, even the guys I ran around with, to the best of my knowledge, never walked up and asked a young lady to dance by saying, I won't dance with you. I will show you my penis. I always thought that was kind of a non-starter. That was something that happened after the dancing, don't you? They know I'm conservative. They're terribly disappointed I'm on the city council. You want to dance? I'll show you I'm a man. Here, look. Police! See, they're persecuting me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, over on the Facebook, oh, this is going to be good. John Latour for City Council posted, "I, first person, have been reflecting on the events of last Friday morning. I have now concluded that when a restaurant where I am dining is playing music too loud, I should just simply leave. I made a snap decision to try a weak attempt at humor instead. This I will not do again. I never intended to cause pain or harm to anyone. If I did in the process, I sincerely apologize." That's one of those classic traditional family values, non-apology apologies. If I offended anybody, I'm sorry. Not just, and by the way, he says Friday morning. That means a little bit after midnight. Means that he was trying to dine after midnight last Friday morning. Well, bless her heart. There was Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker, to the rescue. Oh, goody, it's motorcycle night. Carol said, "So close there, John. You almost had it, and instead reverted to the non-apology apology. The old, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry, instead of, my words were offensive, and for that I apologize." See, you still don't believe you did anything wrong. It's everyone else's fault for not understanding your weak attempt at humor. And then again, I'm proud to say that while I've never been caught, I have never, in a consensual situation, offered to drop my trousers and had anyone refer to it as a weak attempt at humor. So I got that going for me. Yeah. You still don't get it, John. I'm not attacking you. I'm not insulting you. I'm disappointed that you just don't get it and instead blame all the thin-skinned liberals for being rightly offended at your offensive behavior. Time to grow up and give that apology another go because you missed the mark. Oh, but they're all out there, and they're just waiting to because here comes Richard R. Sanborn. Thing is, liberals are thin-skinned. They are perpetual victims, and no apology will suffice. Short of getting your pound of flesh, I'm guessing it don't weigh no pound. You will never be satisfied, and no amount of flesh tips the scale at a pound. Tips, tip, pound, flesh, tip. In a story about a guy offering to flash his junk. Oh, this is restaurant quality. Pun intended. Carrie and Greta have shown far more class and tolerance than all those who expressed outrage. Carol does not suffer fools gladly and replied, "And therein lies the problem here, Richard. I never asked for him to resign. I never asked for a pound of flesh or anything else or any tip. Or shaft, even. I never expressed outrage. I expressed disappointment. It's okay to hate liberals if hating them is your thing and makes you feel better. If my comments offended you, then you must be one of those thin-skinned liberals who hate non-apology apologies. See what I did there? No, he didn't, because he was a bit busy thinking about tips and pounds and flesh. Yeah, you get it. So we got, and a religious update. Okay. A note from Jim with a very long subject line. This is the entire subject line. "Please get it right. Holy right. Holy week first. The correct noun is Episcopalian, not Episcopal. Second." Okay. Not Holy week first. Okay. "Please get it right. Holy week first. The correct noun is Episcopalian, not Episcopals. Second, Ash Wednesday was 10 February 2016. Ashes are made from last year's Palm Sunday. Third, tomorrow is Maundy Thursday." I knew it was Midland or Maudlin or something. "Fourth, Friday's Good Friday, the day of the crucifixion. Fifth, there's a crucifixion fifth? Well, I'm gonna hold out for the resurrection 1.75 myself. Holy Saturday 6th, Easter Sunday. Be well, Jim, by the way. Romans did use nails as remains of one through the lower foot have been found. Wishing you and your family a blessed Easter. Thank you, Jim. We don't really celebrate Easter. I mean, back when the kids were little, we'd have an Easter egg hunt. But we've never really celebrated it. We didn't raise our children Christian because I didn't want them to be, and neither did their mother, burdened with all that obnoxious horse shit. But I could see that, and that's one of those reasons I could never be, I can't be a Christian. I can't keep track of the vocabulary. It's just too much stuff to have to remember. If you celebrate Easter, good for you. Hope you have a blast. Best as I can figure, that's the time of year that the little baby Jesus leaves chocolate bunnies, red, whatever. But, okay. So, happy. This isn't Little Smudge of Ash Day. I don't know. I mean, at the very best, I was raised Baptist, and we didn't pay any attention to any of that Catholic stuff. Because, you know, that's all papism. Your Puritans in Massachusetts didn't do it either. Hell, they'd come near beating somebody to death for celebrating Christmas. I mean, that's how it goes with your religious types, you know. Hey, look, it's our buddy the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man, what's going on?
Just trying to sort out all the religious folderol and the good upstanding Christians who, you know, do things like sexually abuse 5-year-old children under 5 and try to burn down their wives and their houses. I mean, the peace that passeth all understanding, man.
So are we talking about the Catholic Church? Or are we talking about Islam? Or are we talking about Buddhism?
No. In this, the guy who sexually abused allegedly the little girl under 5, and the guy who tried to burn down his own house with his wife in it because he'd embezzled money from his mama. Those would be your evangelicals, I do think.
Oh, so the American bullshit.
Yeah. Well. Right. Yeah, Merkins.
Hey, regardless, I just found out this afternoon that on my way into the fucking studio that the Buddhists in Myanmar, Burma, Aung San Suu Kyi's people, she hasn't said a fucking thing about the Rohingya, and now they are 100% pro fucking Trump. They said Trump is right. You got to stomp the Muslims as long as there's a Quran. There's going to be terrorism.
Wait, no, quit that. Time out. Buddhists do not run around wanting people stomped. I mean, that's the kind of shit that kills the Buddha.
Yeah, they do. I've been Buddhist most of my adult life. Matter of fact, since my late teens, practicing Buddhist. As an atheist, Orthodox, those who understand Buddhism know what the fuck I'm talking about. Buddhism without beliefs. But the thing about it is, politically speaking, since the Vietnam War, actually since the French have been in fucking Indochine, there's been a political aspect to Buddhism. Now, you know, in the traditional historical sense, the Buddha would actually, well, he did this twice. He walked into the middle of battlefields, in the middle of conflicts, you know, with, you know, mothers and widows, and said, look, if you want to fight the other side, you have to basically kill us in order to get to the other side. Now, he stopped 2 battles that way. But, you know, since he died, just like every other goddamn, you know, thing that's come around, even though Buddhism is technically not a religion. Well, it is, but then it isn't. We can have this goddamn debate in Burma, in Vietnam, throughout Southeast Asia.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the flavor, right? I mean, there's
sex. Well, yeah, kind of. You know, I mean, you got the 3 schools, and we're not going to get into that. But in Southeast Asia, because of the political history there and, you know, the military history there, there have been times in mainland China, even, we really want to go back to the Manchus when the Buddhist temples there, the Buddhist monks were defending the villages. That's the basis of a lot of classic kung fu films. But these things really did happen. So we can't really say that Buddhism is acknowledge nonviolence, but it also says you're not supposed to stand there and watch people get fucked up either. But on the other hand,
which is what kind of empowers, say, a Buddhist monk in Vietnam to stand there and set himself on fire.
Set himself on fire. Yeah. Now, see, I've spoken to black soldiers. I have spoken to black soldiers who witnessed that before they started reporting it. They said, man, they didn't utter a fucking sound. And we're asking ourselves, what the fuck are we doing here? They said, we were ready to leave. All of the black, Latino, Native Americans, they said, man, we're ready to go. The poor white guys, they said, man, we're ready to go. If they're going to do this, we should just fucking leave, period. And they're like, no, the lieutenant said, fuck it. That's an example of why they're savages and why we need to fucking, you know, do what we're doing. So, you know, we can see this if we're being objective. There is a history of protest in Buddhism. There was also a history of violence. Now, Burma had a case a few years ago, and so did Thailand, where Buddhist monks were shooting people over political differences. So, you know, for me, this really isn't much of a shock. But what's happening with the Rohingya is that they're a Muslim indigenous minority who, kind of like the Kurds, don't have a homeland. They've been pushed around. And these Buddhists are fundamentalists in Thailand, and they're making a racial argument. They hate the indigenous hill people who are protected by the federal law in Thailand and what have you. But they've got it in their head that they got to get rid of all of these Muslims. And they're killing people. Aung San Suu Kyi hasn't said a goddamn thing. That's Hillary Clinton's friend. They've had tea. Right? She's the...
She's got a Nobel Prize on San Suu Kyi.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, those are the people who sit around and watch this kind of shit. Look at certain...
I mean, that's the Burma, Myanmar, right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look at Africa. Everybody that they point to in Africa as a leader of the female political fucking world, Sirleaf Johnson, all of them, have a history of being paid by the motherfucking United States, have a history of selling out their goddamn people by signing contracts that they don't tell the fucking public about. You know, Aung San Suu Kyi is the same goddamn thing. Anybody who's had tea with fucking Hillary Clinton is suspect. Period. And while they're getting on Bernie Sanders for not condemning Dr. Fidel Castro, for not condemning Chavez, for not condemning...
Oh, Jesus, I guess you saw the hissy... What, Monday? So that photograph was taken of Barack Obama, and they're standing in front of a building in the background that's got the iconic outline of Che Guevara. And the right wing had kittens with crocheted tails, angry.
No, I didn't see it.
They went to Wingnut Sweat Condition Alpha over it.
Well, they were, because they're a bunch of ignorant fucking bastards. I mean, none of them want to talk about Pinochet. None of them want to talk about Operation Condor, which I've written about. You know, nobody wants to fucking talk about the dirty war in Argentina, which on his way out of the door, oh, yeah, now we can talk about this shit. Now we're going to start hitting a couple of these cops for fucking getting on people. But in the meantime, while I was in office, I didn't do a fucking thing but protect capital.
So well, yeah, I mean, just to give you a sense of it, because there's a certain grim delight that attaches to this, I guess, watching them behave so predictably. The picture came out with Obama standing there, and there's the big, Che in the background, and over on the Drudge Report, Matt Drudge was mission accomplished.
Oh, fuck them.
But this is one of the better ones though. It's the same photo, a little bit more cropped, with Che in the background. And it's done up as a meme. No time for Nancy Reagan's funeral. Too busy posing with murals of Fidel Castro's racist, mass-murdering communist executioner.
Yeah, because these motherfuckers really give a shit about racism. You know, they really give a fuck about Native Americans. They really give a fuck about women. Puerto Ricanos. Yeah, they really give a fuck, right? Guam. They really give a guy. I mean, there's fucking Republicans in Guam. I can't understand this shit. But at the same time, we got black folks in the fucking South who are talking crap. Oh, well, you know, Bernie Sanders is this in the South. What the fuck are you talking about? The Clintons are Southerners. Of course they're going to have an advantage in the fucking South. Of course they're going to have an advantage in the South. And of course black people who are used to getting pushed around, who are used to getting their fucking ass kicked, as long as they can fucking pay their rent, they'll deal with it. Of course they're going to vote for fucking Clinton. She's the one who helped create these goddamn conditions. Because I'm really getting tired of black people talking about, well, Bernie Sanders is a racist. And I'm like, where the fuck are you talking about? Well, Hillary Clinton said. I'm like, Hillary Clinton called you a fucking super predator. You're my goddamn age. When we were young, we were super fucking predators. And our kids were fucking baby super fucking predators. Oh, well, Bernie Sanders, he didn't do shit during when black people needed him. Oh, and what the fuck did the Clintons do? She went around the country fucking saying, lock them all up. Throw away the fucking key. Take their goddamn welfare. Put them to fucking work for less they were getting on goddamn welfare. And then penalize them for not being able to fucking pay their goddamn bills. That's Clinton. Racial profiling came back in federal government because of fucking Clinton. You know, she was just asked by somebody who fucking served decades in fucking, you know, he was on death row. Ricky Jackson, exonerated in 2014 after serving almost, I'm reading this from thinkprogress.org, almost four fucking decades for a murder he did not commit, who said that he came perilously close to his own fucking execution. And he said, in light of what I just told you, and in light of the fucking undocumented cases of innocent people who had been executed, what is your stance on the death penalty? She said, well, it's a difficult question, and basically didn't motherfucking answer the goddamn question. And then kept going by doubling down on the fucking shit and basically said, I'm not going to fucking change anything. Bernie Sanders says, I'm going to get rid of it.
Well, and there's, after yesterday, the usual chorus came out angry of, well, you know, he's run a good campaign and he certainly moved Hillary to the center. But, you know, it's time for that cranky old Bernie to get out of the race so we can have our coronation. We've waited long enough. And, you know, I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. Because I still haven't gotten to vote yet. And neither has the entire state of California. You know, or New
Arizona.
York.
Look at Arizona.
And Arizona, that didn't really work out so well, did it?
No.
I mean, Maricopa County went from 200 polling places to 60.
And where was the DNC complaining about this instead of defending the right to rip off people at these motherfucking payday lending fucking
schemes? Crickets.
And look what they did to fucking Bernie every goddamn time. I mean, I wasn't crazy about O'Malley, but I never got to hear from him.
I mean, and for those who don't know, but Maricopa County, Arizona, is Phoenix.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of people.
And you know who lives there? The sheriff.
Yeah, sure.
Him and his buddy, Steven Seagal.
But, I mean, it shocks me that there's only 200 polling places in a city the size of Phoenix and it gets cut to 60?
Yeah, because that way the white folks can come in and fucking vote and then everybody else will trickle the fuck in.
Oh, no. They also instituted mail-in voting. So, you know, all the old white folks voted by mail.
Mail.
I mean, it was 1 second past the polls closing time when the for-profit media announced that that Hillary had won the primary, and the vast majority of her win was mail-in votes. Meanwhile, the very last vote in Maricopa County, Arizona, angry, was cast just a little bit after midnight this morning.
Some bullshit.
Well, sure it is. But let's be fair. This is what happens when John Roberts guts the Voting Rights Act because there's no more racism in America.
Yeah, but again, how did we get to this point? This is what I was saying to you last time we spoke. How did we get to this point? How many fucking black politicians have brought us to this fucking point? I'm talking about my specific group now. Who the fuck got us to this point? These are the same Negroes that fuck around and call for more cops. They call for more jails. They call for more judges. They don't call for more jobs. They call for more positions for their kids because their kids are coming out of fucking college. But these are the people who are pro fucking Hillary Clinton and anti Bernie Sanders. I'm fucking hearing black folks talk about, oh, we just talked about this. Oh, he's talking about the ghetto. I'm like, you talk about nigga and ghetto every goddamn day in that fucking music you listen to. Are you fucking kidding me? And you're going to back Hillary Clinton? You're fucking kidding me, right? And I'm having debates with people who are in their fucking 50s who goddamn know better. And it's always the same fucking thing. I got mine. Get yours. I don't want to fucking have to carry these dumbass fucking niggas on my back. And I'm like, hey, man, somebody had to help us. That's why the fuck we're sitting in this bourgeois fucking cafe at 9:30 in the goddamn morning right the fuck now, because you and I got a fucking break.
Can I ask you a question, Angry?
This morning, that punk-ass son of a bitch.
Can I ask you, this is a question I ask in earnest. And it has to do with my raisin and the way I feel about that particular word. And this is not a matter of, this isn't a critique or a criticism, but do people really use that word the way that you're, I mean, I'm not doubting you. But do they really use that word that way?
Well, just like I said, when I use it, it's in context.
Well, no. That's why I ask.
But you know,
that just blows my tiny little mind.
Look, I grew up with cats who, by the time we got into our 30s, we were looking at each other and say, man, we used to say to each other, you know, four or five brothers standing in a circle talking, yeah, man, you know, this, that, and the other. Hey, man, that nigga's crazy. You dig what I'm saying? And then if a white person came around, that shit went away. They didn't know what the fuck we were talking about. We used to change our speech, right?
Well, I mean, I am so painfully, boringly white that, I mean, it was shocking to me in 1976 when Richard Pryor came out with an album called Bicentennial Nigger.
Yeah, but again, he was trying to make a point.
He was trying to make a point.
He's trying to make a point. Now, these motherfuckers identify as nigger, and then they justify it by saying, well, there's an A on the end, so it means something different. And it's like, fuck that. You've been so totally removed from what it is to be a fucking black man in the world. You've accepted this shit. I don't want to hear about Eazy-E talking about niggers a good thing. Eazy-E was a fucking gangster. You know what I'm saying? Who got lucky, who found another way to fucking make money and shit. And then, you know, come on, man, give me a fucking break. He's trying to sell some fucking records to white folks. He wasn't fucking thinking about how that shit was going to work out 20 years down the line. That's why I don't want to hear these gay fucking folks talk about, oh, well, I'm queer. Hey, man, a lot of people I know got beat the shit out of for fucking being queer. You guys were at these goddamn fucking meetings and shit with black people, because I was at those fucking meetings on the East Coast, and I watched the white activists sitting there taking notes. And when fuckers are trying to defend this bullshit, well, you know, nigga this, we're going to take the sting out of the word by using it. So that way, when white people call us that, it doesn't mean anything. So now we got white people calling it each other nigga. But, you know, fucking Latinos calling each other nigga. Calling us nigga.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me, Angry, because when you say we're going to take the sting out of the word, you can't take the hate out of the hate.
You can't. But see, Tony Petway, the black guy who beat the shit out of an anti-Trump white man at a fucking Trump rally, Air Force fucking sergeant, right? He's going to do what the white man won't do. He's going to jump out and sucker punch. I mean, they sucker punch at these fucking Trump rallies. You notice that, Bob?
Yeah. It just comes out of the crowd.
That says something to me about the fucking punk asses that we're going against. That's why I don't walk around in any fear of them. Not to say that they can't fucking hurt you. They can fucking hurt you, but they're going to come at you like fucking cowards, though. It's not going to be one of them unless he knows for a fact that he can whip your goddamn ass. I'm telling you this shit from personal fucking experience. Neo-Nazis, fascists, Republicans, libertarians are at heart fucking cowards. Anybody that needs an AR-15 to go get a fucking Slurpee is a fucking punk. Quote me on that. You're a fucking punk. You're a punk. And that motherfucking Tony Petway does not speak for me or any other goddamn aware black man in America, because this is what I'm talking about. You got motherfuckers that are so desperate. He is an Air Force sergeant. Don't tell me that he doesn't own a fucking house. Don't tell me that he doesn't have a fucking CD sit and wait for his ass when he retires. Don't fucking tell me that he's not looking forward to his fucking pension. Don't tell me that he's got a new up-to-date fucking car every goddamn year. Don't tell me that he's not paying his fucking bills. And don't tell me that he's had to kiss white ass in the motherfucking Air Force to goddamn have a fucking career. So don't motherfucking tell me that he wasn't over there punching that white man in the face saying, you're trying to take what I think is all fucking mine. And I'm willing to stand with these white folks as long as they're not lynching me and they're going after some poor nigga, then fuck it. I'm going to fucking break your goddamn face. I'm going to step and stomp on you. And he was released that goddamn day. Now, let some black men defend a white woman who's getting her ass kicked and see if they're released that fucking day because they kicked that fucker on the face and stomped his goddamn head the way that bastard did and see if they fucking go home that goddamn night. They're not going home for the next 15 fucking years.
No, that kind of goes back to what I was saying Monday night at the end of the program about the video of the final minutes of Lavoie Finkham.
Fuck him.
I mean, leaning out of the car going, no, son, you put the laser right here. You go ahead and kill me now. And the guy still doesn't shoot. And then he drives away. He gets to drive away until he you know, gets himself jammed up in a snowbank and then gets out and goes for a gun twice before anybody shoots.
But he's a victim.
Yeah, he's a victim. You find me the human being with skin darker than the color of a brown paper bag that gets to do that in America, and I'll show you a guy who is the human equivalent of a unicorn. Don't exist.
Well, but unicorns do exist, obviously. Tony Petway is one of them. He's the perfect example. And the Democratic version of the Tony Petway is who's supporting fucking Hillary Clinton. These are the people, black and white, in the goddamn South, who said, I want to go back to the Clinton gravy fucking train, where he cleared the street of all the fucking poor folks.
So get this. Going back to Maricopa County, the recorder, the Maricopa County recorder's name is Helen Purcell, and she, of course, is in charge of elections in Maricopa County. So she got interviewed on Fox, or got interviewed by a Fox reporter. And they with people standing in line for 4 and 5 hours just to cast a damn vote. You know, is there anywhere in the rest of the world, Angry, where you have to stand in line for 5 hours to vote?
I checked on that. There's been some shaky ones in South America like that, but not that long. No,
it doesn't take five. You don't stand in line for 5 hours to vote in the UK.
And down there in South America, you get a receipt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so she gets interviewed. The reporter says, just to start, obviously you've heard all the frustration. Who's to blame for this, these long lines? That's what the reporter asks. And she says, well, you know, the voters for getting in line. No shit.
No, I know. I know.
Anybody want to guess this woman's politics?
But what are you going to do? I mean, you know, you had a teacher get fired in fucking Florida several years ago for teaching wizardry because this individual used a magic trick, which we all know is sleight of hand, to explain a scientific thing that they were doing in the class. Well, somebody went home and said, they did magic in school. They did. That's the devil. And raised hell, and the fucking teacher got fired. You know, so you know, this is the world in which we're living in, that Phyllis Salafi, you know, how the fuck do you pronounce that?
Oh, Phil, you mean, no, you have to say it a certain way. National Treasure Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh, her. Well, whatever the fuck. I mean, why is anybody listening to her? You know, this is the world where Jimmy the Greek told the truth. Well, why are blacks so good at sports? Well, for those of you old enough to remember Jimmy the Greek, he said, well, hey, man, you know, they used to breed them on the plantations like that, and that's why you have a refrigerator Perry. He wasn't lying. He was telling the goddamn truth. They bred us like fucking horses on those goddamn plantations. But Bill Cosby was one of the people that got him fucking fired.
Yeah, you just don't get to say Bill Cosby anymore without the whole conversation just skidding into a ditch on an icy sheen of irony.
I mean, I just sent you a fucking link. You know, the motherfucker that shot Gabby Giffords, you know, the congresswoman. He's suing her. How the fuck does that work?
Well, of course.
You know, and then you got Trump, and people are like, oh, we don't know how Trump got this way. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? CNN, MSNBC, they're all fucking pushing Trump. What the fuck are you talking about? Bernie Sanders makes a comment about political corruption. Oh, well, we need to go over to Trump now, who's calling in from wherever the fuck he is. Everybody else, we got to have, you know, no. Trump, no. Let him call in. Oh, we don't know how far he's going. But then democracynow.org had a clip that I'm going to use on my next goddamn show. Had a clip of the motherfucking CEO from CBS saying, yeah, Trump's a fucking jerk or whatever.
Oh, no. Yeah, Les Moonves. Yeah, I mentioned that. He really said that. Trump has been great for CBS.
Yep. I don't like him, but hey, keep going. Go Trump. You know, fuck it. My kids don't have to deal with this.
Sells ads.
It sells ads.
And now, I don't know if you saw this particular clip, Angry, but yesterday, the blood was still wet in Brussels when some right-wing POS came out and said, from Belgium, some sort of prominent sort of Belgian came out and said, I stand with Trump. I mean, he's the Belgian equivalent, I guess, of Marie Le Pen.
Yeah, he is. Exactly, he is.
Michael something, but disgusting. Yeah, but we've discussed that before, Angry. Fascism is on the march all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Look at India. Look at Burma. This is what's happening with the Rohingya. And then people are talking about, well, Clinton has a plan to stop all this. Clinton is one of the fucking people pushing this. Why do you think that she's somehow going to be against this? This is the woman who said, we came, we saw, he died.
And then there's Honduras.
You know, and then Berta Cáceres said, she named Hillary Clinton by name, and now she's dead. Nelson Garcia is dead. Two people were killed in Guatemala just to fucking today. This is all part of the U.S. policy. And then here's Obama. He goes down to Cuba. Goes down and talking about human rights. Albert Woodfox, 43 years in the fucking box. He wants to talk about rights? Torture right here in the goddamn United States from the fucking police and fucking corrections officers. Sergeant James Brown, a black fucking serving sergeant in the United States Army, dies in the fucking holding bin after they extended his motherfucking keep for a DUI, and he winds up dead, and then, yeah, well, we lied on the paperwork. Well, we see that, and nobody gave any real fucking credible information about this, but he just died, and we don't know what to blame. I mean, it's just a nigga that's broke. You want to talk about Richard Pryor?
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, can you break it? Yeah, right.
He broke, you know. They break. They don't feel pain. They don't feel pain. And if you ask an Uncle Tom like Tony Petway, he'll tell you too. Well, I'm a tough motherfucker. I'm not like these other niggas. They don't feel pain.
But you know, it's gotta make Barack Obama's life a little bit more complicated. On the one hand, historic trip to Cuba, right? And so he raises human rights issues. And then, because the United States of America, abandoned the high ground, Raul Castro gets to respond by saying, the United States really doesn't need to be lecturing Cuba about human rights as long as every American can't go to the doctor when they're sick, and y'all developed a taste for torture. And look. You know, it's like that Bible verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's got their own baggage. Cuba's not perfect. Neither is the United States. But what he said is true. What Raul Castro said is demonstrably, empirically true. Everybody in America who gets sick can't go to the doctor. Cuba has a higher literacy rate than the United States. In Cuba, a woman giving birth has a greater likelihood of surviving the birth process than a woman does in the United States. It is demonstrably true. But, you don't want people jailed or whatever. And, they rounded up a bunch of people in advance of his trip. Yeah. You don't want people jailed for just speaking their mind. And we have this notion that a vibrant society that engages in debate is somehow better than an authoritarian regime. That goes back to Judge Learned Hand. The remedy to bad speech is not to quash the bad speech. The remedy to bad speech is more speech. And that's a nice sentiment. As long as the system works and the system upholds that process.
But it's got to be a real pain in the ass to be Barack Obama down there trying to make a little progress. And you got, and the thing happens in Belgium. And I'm pretty sure that the guys who blew themselves up weren't saying, hey, Wick, Barack Obama's in Cuba. Let's do it now. Yeah, no, no. But by the same token, it's got to be tough. This thing happens. And then lo and behold, there's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, talking about how we've got to secure our Muslim neighborhoods. And Donald Trump says, yeah, well, we'll be doing more than waterboarding. We got to do some serious torture. You got to be serious with these people. And if you're Barack Obama, you go, well, you know, fuck me. Fuck me running to pieces. This is why we can't have nice things. Because, I mean, those two really did say that. I mean, you want to talk about a nightmare vision for America, angry? How about armed troops, or, okay, we'll call them police for the sake of posse comitatus. How about armed to the teeth police, paramilitary style, walking the streets in platoons because you happen to live in a neighborhood that is majority Muslim?
Well, what makes you think that isn't happening in black communities and hasn't been happening?
Yeah, it's where I was going. It's exactly where I was going. So, you know, we're gonna. What could we call it? The blackening of Muslim America, or has white America just convinced itself that all the Muslims in the United States are just black people? No matter what color their skin are. You're not white. What? You're white? You're black now.
Well, that's a given. I mean, the majority of these motherfuckers don't even realize that Islam first came here with African goddamn slaves. It's already been here. It's been here. Thomas Jefferson had a fucking Quran. That just shows how much ignorance there is. And for those of us who remember all the fucking oil wars and shit, I remember my father talking shit about Arabs. He didn't know a fucking thing about them. Well, they got all the oil. They're controlling all the oil. Well, it's their goddamn oil. What the fuck? You know? What the fuck?
You know, one of my favorite comedies is the 1978 zany, and it is, it's hilarious, Peter Falk and Alan Arkin, with a cast of just brilliant actors, The In-Laws. At the very beginning, the thing that happens that gets the ball rolling is when an armored treasury truck gets hijacked, and the driver of the truck may be heard to, and they're being lifted by a giant electromagnet on a crane into the air, and you hear the driver of the truck go, Jesus Christ, Arabs! And that's 1978.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for anybody who's seen it, I don't want to spoil a movie, but suffice to say it wasn't Arabs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, none of this is new, but let's put a couple of things in context. Now, yeah, they stopped that rally in Cuba before he got there. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know what? So what? They do that kind of shit here every fucking day, the goddamn protesters. So why are people pointing to Cuba and talking about what a fucking shame? They've been doing that shit to Black Lives Matter. What the fuck? They got Leroy Finicum protests every fucking Saturday here in Portland. I don't see anybody getting fucked up. They're not fucking with them, though. But, you know, less than black folks say that the police are fucking out of hand. They're murdering us. They're killing us, like the United Nations said.
Oh, no, no. Well, see, you may forget where I live. You see mention of the Klan comes up, and immediately it's like Godwin's law or something. It's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. Because immediately someone will post, will go, what, the Klan? Well, they're just like Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is just a hate group like the Klan is. How come they got to call out the Klan and they don't call out Black Lives Matter, huh?
And the other thing that I want to point out is when it comes to protests in Cuba and the whole political situation in Cuba, if you're not going to talk about the attempts to sabotage against Cuba, the poisoning of their milk for the public school system, the poisoning of their fields with locusts. Cuba never had fucking locusts until that shit was dropped over the fucking island. Okay, how many times have they been infiltrated? You know, you have motherfuckers bringing in Louisiana, bringing people on and off the island all the goddamn time for the mafia and for whoever else would pay them. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah, and one other little thing, because the thing that I mentioned a little bit ago, Angry, that where the wing nuts had a hissy over that photograph that's got a line drawing of Che Guevara in the background, Che. He was
the murderous murdering henchman murderer thug of Fidel Castro.
You can say whatever, but goddamn. All that tells me is that whoever's saying that knows A, nothing about revolutions, and B, nothing about the American Revolution.
Nope.
No, because, you know, everybody was a patriot. Everybody wanted to be free of England. Bullshit, no.
Nope. The Sons of Liberty was stringing motherfuckers up all along the eastern goddamn seaboard.
Tar and feathered.
In front of their families.
Drove thousands of sympathizers of the crown out of the colonies. And then they went up and they settled, including black folks.
Uh-huh.
Went up and settled in Canada.
Yep.
And in point of fact, not to get too academic or history nerdy or anything, but one of the things that bothered Alexander Hamilton, because the guy was capitalist before capitalist was cool, one of the things that bugged him the most was that because all the Tories had been driven out, that meant that the creative, it was a huge proportion of New York City, which at that point in time maybe had 30,000 people. And a huge percentage of the population of New York was driven out, and that meant the merchant class was gone, the legal class was gone, the wealth class was gone, the creative class was gone. And he was sitting there going, and he took hell because he said, you know, we don't need to just drive everybody out. And that dogged him for the rest of his days until Aaron Burr brought him to his much deserved end. Agnes has people in her family background who were driven out of Philadelphia, and they had been, and her family was instrumental in the founding of Philadelphia. You know, her multi-great grandfather was the first naturalist in the colonies, literally the very first one. And so, you know, if somebody, murderous revolutionary, well, I guess it's okay as long as we're the revolutionaries who are being murderous.
Well, look, I mean, it's not that I'm defending that shit. You and I both are against the death penalty, but like you said, a revolution is a fucking revolution. When they were lining people up against the wall, I've watched films of these trials. I've written about this. When seven people say that that's the man who dragged Jose whatever the fuck out of his house because he attended a democracy meeting under the motherfucking Batista government, we watched him beat that man for three blocks straight, and then he blew his fucking brains out, and that's just one motherfucker we can tell you about. That's who the fuck they killed. That's who they killed. So, you know, I don't know what the fuck they expected people to do who have lost. Well, actually, you and I both know, if we get down to brass tacks, that is what white people are voting for Trump about. They are so scared of a black, Latino, Native American backlash that this, we got to keep power. I don't know. We got to keep power.
I mean, it's the history of the settlement of North America by white people. For 400 plus years, wealthy white America has been going to sleep every night wondering if this is the night that the people they've been treating like shit are going to creep into their bedrooms and slit their throats in their sleep.
Always. But my argument is, if you didn't do anything wrong, then what the fuck are you worried about? And then it's like, well, you hate white people. Yeah, I know. I hate white people. I'm just married to a fucking Palestinian Christian who's also half white. Most of my fucking friends are white. Everywhere I fucking go is white. Everyone I work with is fucking white. Everybody I deal with socially is white. I know. I hate white people so fucking much. That's why I brought my ass to this goddamn town, right? What you're saying is, I do not defer to you. I'm not fucking kissing your fucking ass. I don't believe that you're fucking better than me. I won't accept that. That's why I said every motherfucking Negro in the goddamn South and anywhere else in the fucking sound of my voice that supports Hillary Clinton is a fucking idiot.
Okay, you've opened that door. Let's work on something for a minute here, Angry. And again, this is one of those I have to be very careful moments. I've taken a little bit of grief, not much, because I don't pay any attention to it. But, you know, I refer to Hillary Clinton's voters in the Confederacy.
Why not?
Well, way to talk about Democrats in the South, Bob.
Well.
Okay. I mean, you know, I'm a Southerner. I get to. You know, that's why the beginning of the program says the only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Because I am. And that gives me a rather unique perspective on all of this. But I got questions that I can't answer, Angry. And I can't answer them not because I can't. Well, I don't know. You tell me why I can't answer them. So the Confederacy is front loaded into the primary system to give whoever. And you know, none of those states have a Democratic majority, and yet they are given pride of place in determining who will have. I mean, you know, what would have happened if Idaho? What would have happened if the first primaries and caucuses would have been Idaho, Utah, Michigan, Minnesota, Colorado, and then throw in New Hampshire and Vermont and Iowa and Nevada? What would Hillary Clinton's delegate count have been? She would have been so far behind she couldn't see the front.
Well, that's if this delegate shit is even fair to begin with.
Well, right. But I mean, just work with me within the parameters of our thought experiment.
Okay.
But anyway, we front load the Confederacy to make sure that the so-called establishment candidate gets a leg up. Because even Southern Democrats tend to be, they tend toward the authoritarian side of things. Whether it be the black Southern Democratic community who takes marching orders from the pulpit, and they do, or whether it's the white Democratic Southern community who takes marching orders from the pulpit, they take marching orders. And it's a part of the Southern character. And all of this is prologue for the question I'm about to ask. Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia. What do these states all have in common? None of them have expanded Medicaid. That means that the working poor in none of those states, and out of which arguably a majority of the Democratic voters in the southern states come from, have the availability of health insurance of any kind. So here's my question. And you may know, maybe you've read this and I haven't. Maybe there's some Hillary fan out there who knows the answer to this. But when Bernie started talking at the beginning of the campaign about Medicare for all and about universal single-payer health care, the only response from Hillary Clinton was, no, we can't. And of course, she also responded, why do you hate Barack Obama? You just want to kill Obamacare and start all over from the beginning. And of course, he never said any such thing, Angry. But my question is, what plan? And if anybody thinks that I'm being unfair or I'm Hillary bashing, I'm so sorry. This ain't bashing. This is a real, legitimate, honest to God, straight up, above board question about policy. What plan does Hillary Clinton have to bring health insurance to the millions of people who cannot afford for-profit Obamacare insurance in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Wisconsin? What plan does she have that will do, because see, they are never going to be, okay, maybe Wisconsin will get over it and will eventually get the Medicaid expansion. Maybe Kansas. But it is never going to happen, Angry. It is never, ever, ever going to happen in Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Missouri, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina. Medicaid expansion is never, ever going to happen there. So what plan does Hillary Clinton have to bring health insurance to people who cannot, as a matter of economic fact, participate in the for-profit half of Obamacare?
Well, my short answer to that would be, what was her husband and her pushing that she was condemned for when he first got into office and wanted to hand over all medical insurance to one private insurer?
What, BCBS?
I thought it was Prudential or whatever the hell it was, that they were trying to bind it all up to put it in one company and basically do what Obamacare does, which if you have to buy it, instead of just taking it out of your taxes as a tax, which is what Bernie Sanders
I can't afford Obamacare, okay?
Yeah, a lot of people can't. It's not helping a lot of people, but it helps some people.
But Medicaid, to one extent or another, has been there for, I mean, granted, if you're in one of the Stan states, if you so much had a cardboard box to sleep under at night, you didn't qualify for Medicaid.
You didn't qualify, yeah.
But in more enlightened states, California, New York, Massachusetts has Romney Care, but whatever. In more enlightened states, Medicaid was there for you. But Medicaid is never going to be there. So Medicaid, the Medicaid expansion cannot, by definition, as a product of the internal logic of the conversation, Medicaid cannot be part of the solution.
Well, it depends on what kind of solution you're looking for. If you want to maintain the status quo, and I'm being very serious about this because economists do this all the time. Politicians do this all the time. How many people get sick, can't work, become a strain on the system, but we need that population to kind of be open to working for substandard wages and for, you know, substandard living conditions? How do you do it? You don't treat them. Now, the other wing to this that the economists will point out is that if too many people get sick because we're not taking care of them, even with the most basic health care, you can have a larger problem. Here's an example. Think of all the states that have cut Planned Parenthood funding. The STD fucking rates went up. The pregnancy rates went up. The people still shooting goddamn heroin, right? But, you know, white people are really
getting back. Yeah, but those rates didn't go up for Precious Pumpkin or Biff or Skip. They went up for people that the political glitterati didn't give a fuck about in the first place.
Yeah,
okay?
But what I'm talking about is unintended unintended consequences. They go with their bullshit. Okay, I'm going to hang on to my talking point and cut all these things. And when the fucking AIDS rates go up and all this shit, and then Buffy gets infected, then I'll do something about it. In the meantime, I'm not fucking concerned because these motherfuckers are out of sight, out of mind. That is one aspect. There's no one real answer to this. But the number one answer would be Hillary Clinton is going to find a way, some goddamn way, to hand this shit over to someone for profit. They're not even looking at how they're going to cover these other guys.
Right, but I think you're getting closer to the answer that I think is actually the answer, Angry. The answer to what plan does Hillary Clinton have to provide health care? And by the way, I just got a note from Jay Cruz, and he said, "Hey, Bob, I know we look like a dick hanging off the country, but don't piss on us by leaving us out. Florida didn't expand Medicaid either." Oh. Florida, true.
Look who they got down there running the show.
But what plan does she have to provide health insurance to the millions upon millions of people who cannot get it because there was no Medicaid expansion in the Stan states?
She's not intending.
And the answer is, there is no plan.
No, there never was. It never was.
So, because, you know, when you and I talk, some of the more fun words fly around more, a little more freely than usual. So the answer is, if you live in a stand state, if you're one of those people who, in Mississippi, went out and gave a 75-point margin of victory to Hillary Clinton in the Mississippi Democratic primary, such as it is, you went out and voted for somebody who doesn't give a fuck if you ever have health care.
But they don't care. They like her. They like her.
Angry, that's too easy.
But it is for some people on that level. They like that individual. They're not worried about the shit. Some white person will come around and will fight for us. We just have to have faith. Go to church. You know how many people tell me, oh, man, you know, Abby, if you just went back to church, if you went back to being a Catholic, man, I think you'd be a lot calmer. You know, you wouldn't be so riled up all the time. I'm like, hey, man, I was a Catholic worker. We fucking saw people in the street who were, you know, starving. We tried to fucking feed them. You're a Baptist. What the fuck do you do? You pray for them.
We make a mean damn pound cake. That's what. Okay, so we got a note in from our buddy Harry in Baltimore. And Harry is well informed on the issue of universal single payer because he's been involved in that struggle for a lot of years. And Harry says, Bob, the answer is that Hillary Clinton does not have a plan to expand health insurance. That is why we have the cultural psychological mystery of poor people voting for Hillary. That is why we have the answer is that it has to be something in the national psyche or culture. Individualism, among other things, which does not dominate every so-called democracy. And you know, that's it at the bottom. That's it in the final analysis. There is no plan. And no. And what I don't understand is in all of these goddamn questions that have been asked at all of these goddamn pageants, why did anyone never, and I think I know the answer, Angry, why did anyone never ask a question about how we're going to get health care to people in Alabama?
Yeah, but what did they do?
And the answer to the question is, because nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, but what are they doing? They've turned the bullshit around, and this is the argument I'm getting into with black folks. Well, Bernie Sanders has no plan. And just like you, I asked them, well, how's Hillary Clinton going to do all this shit? Here's the answer. Well, she's got the contacts. That's your fucking answer, but you want me to give you reams of shit on what, you know, Sanders is going to do, even though...
But Bernie does have a plan, Angry.
Of course he has a plan. Of course he has a plan. But see, Hillary Clinton did what? Oh, where was Bernie Sanders?
I mean, would it have made any more difference in Jesus, I feel I'm so uncomfortable talking like this. Would it have made any more difference in the Deep South black community if somebody had said, oh, by the way, John Conyers of Michigan, a black guy, is the one who keeps introducing the Medicare for All Act in the House?
No, because first you got to explain who John Conyers is and what he actually does and what he can do, because the average person doesn't know. I'm telling you because I have these discussions. They don't know. But one of the things I want to bring out, though, that people are forgetting, people are already forgetting. Hillary Clinton was like, well, where was Bernie Sanders when I was talking about health care? He was standing right fucking behind her. There's video of this shit. She's a fucking liar. Bernie Sanders, the one fucking thing that he's always argued about besides full fucking employment has been mandatory, mandated, universal fucking health care that comes out of your fucking taxes.
And because it's coming out of your paycheck, it's coming out, you're not going to feed... It's kind of like when your 401k comes out of your paycheck. It comes out before taxes are calculated, so you don't feel it.
Don't feel it, yeah. Well, hey, if your 401k fucks up, like I tried to tell people on several jobs that I had, I'm like, I'm not signing up for that. Oh, what do you mean? I'm going to be laying up, man, fucking 20 years from now. You know, in two of those fucking cases, I know for goddamn sure the fucking shit crashed out because they were built on drug bonds. They got nothing.
Well, here's a great example.
Go back to work.
Peabody Energy was trading at a couple of $1,000 a share not 10 years ago. You want to know what it's trading at right now?
I'm scared to ask.
$2.19.
Yeah. there's a bunch of things that can be pointed
now,
to.
Like now, that. How about the folks who had profit sharing through Peabody?
Yeah.
How's that retirement looking now?
Like I said, there's a couple of folks I can point to, man, who are always keen to throw in my face that they had a better pension thing set up than me. I said, well, you have a more important job, I guess, than me. I mean, you know, what the fuck?
Alpha Natural Resources was trading in excess of $100 a share that same time period ago. Now it is a penny stock in bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to get better. It's not going to be okay.
But that's the market, right?
Either, you know, here's the funny thing, though. Either one of those companies could save themselves by going into renewable energy.
Yeah, but come on, Bob.
But they won't.
The Matrix.
But they won't.
That's fucking with the Matrix. You can't have that. I mean, the fact that the Saudis fucked up, you know, when they had cut the, they had cut production or whatever the fuck, and then the price dropped, and then it fucked them up. Saudi lost like $91 billion last year in revenue from this shit. You know, I mean, when the oil fucking prices went down, Nigeria got hurt, Venezuela got hurt, Russia got hurt a little bit. They all started complaining.
And who really gets hurt in that process? It's not the oligarchs angry.
No.
It's Oklahoma is in a budget disaster because of the fossil fuel market.
Well, they put all
and so what happens to Oklahoma? Well, their schools suffer, their infrastructure suffers, their ability to deliver services to the people of Oklahoma suffers. Same thing's going on here in West Virginia.
Yeah, but what are you talking about though, Bob? West Virginia, and you know what? Some descendants of some Okies, right? Who didn't leave? Who gives a fuck? You know, nobody gave a fuck about Oklahoma anyway.
Well, right, we're back to the original question. Why is no one asking why there's no health care plan for the uninsured? Because nobody gives a fuck. Oh, and by the way, you got fan mail. Says here, there have been times, Angry and I have not seen eye to eye, but please, if you could, pass on my sincere appreciation of his awesomeness. He is so great in that he is not shy about bringing up issues that need to be discussed. Thumbs up, Angry, and thumbs up to you, Bob, for having a forum that isn't afraid to have the discussion. And folks, please contribute. $10 a month is a hell of a bargain. And that's from Todd and Kathy in Ohio.
All right, well, thank
and
you.
I will mention that we are at $490 to go in fundraising. And tomorrow night, it'll be $690, which makes it tough. But
yeah, it's always, but see, it's fucked up to me. I feel that you and Malloy and, you know, so many others who have, you know, and myself who had these programs, we're all scratching on skeleton budgets. In the meantime, they're handing Trump fucking coverage. He just started paying for some of this shit. He just started putting money into this. He hasn't put any money into this. You know, Wolf Blitzer, all these motherfuckers, and Wolf Blitzer's Mossad probably always was fucking Mossad. All these guys, they've been fucking helping him along. And then that bullshit that happened in AIPAC, what the fuck was that with Trump and Hillary the other goddamn day? What the fuck was that? That BDS is vile? What the fuck is she talking about?
Oh, and there's and there was more of that lately. I forget what I read earlier, but yeah, I guess. I guess Israel's ready to, like, you know, go to war with BDS, which means it must be effective.
Oh, it is. They passed the law already a couple of years ago. It's just they haven't really put any force into it because nobody's recognizing this shit. Netanyahu got some bullshit passed that to even speak favorably of BDS, you can be brought up on charges in Israel, right? So, you know, that's the type. Come on, they just passed two fucking laws to prevent interracial dating. But this is the number one democracy, though, in the fucking Middle East. You know, they're arresting children. They got 16 and 11-year-olds that they're grabbing out of their fucking houses. But this is what Hillary Clinton is supporting. And black people are going to fucking be okay with this, right? They're going to be okay with this. This is her attitude. We have to support the white colonialist state of Israel. You know, we're going to get Native Americans to vote for us after promising to release Lenin Peltier. But my husband was in office. He goes to Pine Ridge the last month of his fucking tenure and then promises to release Lenin Peltier, releases a bunch of other fucking people like Mark Rich, his personal fucking friend, you know, an embezzler, and all this type of shit. No, you know, we're going to forget about that. And we're going to support colonialism, Jewish colonialism in Israel. And Trump is trying to play the middle ground. And see, even his neo-Nazi followers understand this. Well, he's trying to get elected. So if he says anything positive about Israel, don't really believe it, because we all know he doesn't give a fuck about Jews.
Well, I mean, BDS means something to me. And, you know, here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, it's not like I've got a lot of opportunities to participate. But I do where I can. And there's one, in the grocery store, I'm a label reader. And I love to buy international foods. I love to eat foods from other places. But I'm a label reader. And if I see product of Israel or any of the things that denominate product of Israel, I won't buy it. You know, and that does not include the markings that say kosher. No.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. I know so many people get confused about that.
They do, but no. I will not. And the other thing I've done is, of course, all of my pharmaceuticals are generics. Mm. And so I have a standing order with my pharmacy that says you do not fill any of my generic prescriptions with pharmaceuticals manufactured by Teva. T-E-V-A.
You take that shit to... hey, man, you have... I mean, not that I never respected you, but I mean, but goddamn, man. My wife is a Christian Palestinian. I don't even take it that goddamn far. Shit.
Well, it's a matter of mindfulness.
Yeah, but you're talking about your health, though, man. You know, I mean...
Well, no, I mean, no. I can get the same generic drug that's manufactured up in fucking Morgantown.
Well, if you can...
By a little hillbilly oligarch.
I mean, if you can do that, yeah, but don't put yourself at risk, though.
No.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm saying I won't take my blood pressure medicine. I just won't take any medications that are manufactured, you know, because Teva is a generic medication manufacturer, and they operate in the... And they're sort of American-Israeli, but they were Israeli founded. And so I just try to be mindful, and if it is a Teva-manufactured generic... I ask, can I get this generic can I get a generic from a different manufacturer? And usually they can accommodate me. So
yeah, after they put you on the list. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. It was a long time ago that the Israeli embassy started following me on Twitter. So, you know, fuck them.
Man, I know I get a new page in my Mossad file every time we talk about the show, you know, the issue on my show, you know, because they do. They hound you. They fucking follow you. They now got it so where if you say anything about the state of Israel in any political sense, you don't even have to say Jew. In any political sense, you are now labeled.
Was that real, what you said a minute ago about Israel has passed a law against interracial dating?
Yeah, two of them. Because they couldn't keep these...
How the hell is that not a racial purity law?
It is a racial purity law, but nobody wants to call it that because they're putting it under religious, you know, whatever the fuck. They couldn't stop these young people from jumping over the fucking gate. You got Palestinians and Israelis who are going back and forth, sneaking under the gate so that they can be with their partners. Some of them are getting married, and this is how they're living. You have Israeli men who are married to Palestinian women, and they have to sneak in, you know, to visit their family. She can't come see them. He has to go over there. There's a lot of gay relationships like that, which is how I found out about this initially. That these
well, they're just lucky to be alive.
Well, yeah, that's another
from thing. From either culture. I mean,
Yeah and no. See, it's just like in South America. Homosexuality is there. It's not one of those things that's discussed. If two men are friends, it's understood and it's left like that. As long as they act masculine and do all that, their other bullshit. But regardless of that, I mean, this is the reason...
All the gay guys in Latin America have to be loaded up with machismo?
Yes. Those who are being... You got your tops and you got your bottoms. If you're the bottom, you're considered the female, you're considered the passive, right? If you're the top, you can still have your wife and still go to prostitutes and still have a girlfriend on the side. Nobody will take away your masculinity.
Huh!
Come on. Fidel Castro has talked about this. He said that I'm quoting him now, paraphrasing. He said, I was part of the reason we came after gay people here. He goes, a lot of people say it was Che. It was really me. He said, because I had the machismo bullshit from Spain in my head. And he goes, I knew nothing about gay people. I knew nothing about homosexuals. He apologized on behalf of the people of Cuba to the gay community, saying, we were wrong. We were ignorant and we were wrong. If we knew better, we would have acted better, but we didn't know. And all I can do at this point is say, I'm sorry. We can't take away what we did. We made a mistake because we were ignorant and we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. We were caught up in revolution. And frankly, my own attitudes were wrong. So they had labeled people who were gay as counter-revolutionary. And, you know, they were put into prison. They were, you know, fucked up. They were beat up. And he's like,
And authoritarian regimes do that. I mean, consider the Pink Triangle of 80 years ago.
Yeah, but see, at least he said once we started to realize that we knew nothing about the culture, and he said that mostly his daughter had to help him with this. He said, I was ignorant. And, you know, we were wrong. And all we can do is say is sorry. I mean, look at what's going on in Cuba right now. Castro said this in 1973. Those of us who know about Castro know this, that the United States will come and talk to us when they have a black president and a Latin American pope. And that's exactly what the fuck happened. That's exactly what the fuck
happened. No kidding. That really got said.
Yeah, because he was saying the fucking climate has to change. It has to change. You know, it has to get to the point where the United States can actually, the country of slavery, elect a black man, can get past that. And when Latin America can get a pope in, because the whole point about the church was, you can't bring a Latin American in. They're too fucking radical. That is the home of Catholic workers. Bishop Romero.
And liberation theology.
Liberation theology. That's why they didn't want this man up here, because he's doing exactly what the fuck they were worried about. He fires all the main cardinals who were dealing with the bank. 10 of them out of the 12. He replaced them. He fired a bunch of Monsignors who were spending money on themselves. He's gotten rid of a lot of priests. He's the only fucking pope who has ever pointed out how many pedophiles they have on staff. Who else has done that?
How many tasters does this dude have?
I don't know. And that's been brought up too. That the mafia has, you know, talked about getting him. The Italian police said that they had an informant a few years, a little bit after he got in, when he started fucking with the Vatican bank money, and said that, you know, that's not what we were looking for, but he fessed up and said, yeah, well, the Italian mob is looking at him because he's fucking with the money. We laundered a lot of this shit through the Vatican bank, and now he's fucking with that. He got rid of these guys. Look, you know,
I just got a note in from Arthur in the chat room. And Arthur says, they legalized gay marriage in my native Colombia a few years ago, and the Supreme Court recently ruled unconstitutional to deny gay couples adoption. So there's progress being made.
Yes,
it is not as if there isn't.
But the progress is towards the left. Is towards a humanity. It's towards a
right.
Mindset.
And well, look at the problems. Look at the problems with which Europe is dealing. I was talking earlier, away from the program, I was having a brief conversation with Chris in Germany, and I said to her, you know, it seems obvious to me that the proper response to the problems in Europe is not a clampdown. The proper response, the only response that will actually provide surcease to these miseries is an expansion of the social welfare state.
Well, that's one answer.
It's obvious to me, but you know, in the world of blind austerity, the one-eyed austere king rules, right?
Well, generally, but the reason I put a pause on that is that's a part of it. But if we tend to lean on that, you know, that can cause his own problems, because then you get people who will take advantage of it, not because they're mean or because they're stupid or because it's in their genetics. They're just going to take advantage of what they see as an opportunity.
Well, look at these assholes who did Brussels yesterday. No affiliations with ISIS.
Yeah, even though ISIS is claiming it. Yeah.
No affiliations with any so-called radical Islamist groups. They were assholes. That's what they were. I mean, okay, how about we make it a little simpler? The biggest terrorist group in the world is a loosely affiliated group known as Asshole. I know that's overly simplistic.
Yeah, a bit.
find me the suicide bomber who in the final analysis isn't an asshole.
Well, yeah, but what I'm trying to get to is one of the things that they've pointed out with the majority over the years, not just this last attack, but over the years in Europe anyway, because they actually take the time to look at this shit, that all of these young men and women are coming from marginalized communities. So handing out welfare necessarily isn't going to solve the thing if people are not willing to integrate. Now, what I want to draw the line is here to make this a broad thing is that you have to take into account that the people who have done this type of shit were fully integrated, but not part of the system. They spoke the languages, they spoke Belgian, German, Flemish, Dutch, whatever the fuck, French, wherever the hell they live. They can converse, they're born and raised in these places, but when they go to school, they're treated like shite. When they go to get work, they're treated like shit. They go to get, any kind of decent housing if they can afford it. They don't want to rent to them. The Europeans realize that treating people badly like this and smacking on their fucking dignity is what does this. Now, there's a two side to this, I believe, and I say this to a lot of Mexicans that come here. You need to learn English. You shouldn't have the attitude that you can stay here and just deal with Spanish. You need to find out how the system works. If I go to live in Mexico, I need to learn Spanish. And they're like, well, not really. I said, well, if I live in the tourist areas where the expats go, maybe I can get by. But if I go into a smaller town, I go out of that, I need to understand Spanish. If you go to France, you need to understand the language. I'm not telling you to become an American per se, but you need to figure out how things need to go. And a lot of people are resistant for a lot of reasons. But you also have people who are leaving because of war. They don't want to be in Belgium. They don't want to be in Germany. They would really rather be in Syria or fucking Libya, where the fuck they're from.
In other words, they would rather be home.
They'd rather be home. But what I'm trying to say is that when these things come down, it can't be monolithic. We'll give them everything. Or, like, for example, in France, it really put a strain on the French social system when Nigerian men were coming over with all four of their wives and all 16 of their children. And they're all on, the healthcare system and the educational thing. That puts a strain, and it makes the Frenchman mad because he's born and raised there and his kid can't get certain services because they have to thin things out to accommodate people. You have to really be honest about a lot of this. That a lot of this bullshit is brought up because the systems are not dealing with things the way they should fucking be dealing with it. And what I mean by that is we can be brought again. Like you said, if Syria wasn't having the trouble it was having because of what the fucking U.S. and everybody else was doing, not to say that Syria isn't fucked up, it's been fucked up. We can go back to the 30s and realize how it got to be fucked up. But if the Western powers weren't doing what they were doing, we wouldn't have a lot of this chaos. Most of this bullshit is unintended fucking consequences, or what they like to call blowback. For the hipsters that watch all these goddamn intelligence movies, right?
Yeah, and it is. But what I'm trying to get at, Angry, these problems are not insoluble.
No, they're not. They can be fixed.
Frankly, a lot of these, whether it's living wage or purpose in life, people like to feel like that they matter.
And yeah, but a lot of us too.
If you take somebody who has been, because God knows we've got this experience in this hemisphere. If you take somebody whose entire family history is 10,000 years of successful subsistence farming, and you take that away from them, like NAFTA did, mm-hmm. and they enter a starvation reality that means that they have to cross a goddamn desert to get to America, So they can wipe down some white person's toilet instead of the relatively pleasant existence they had as a subsistence farmer, then there's gonna be a shit ton of existential pain out of all of that, Angry.
Of course. And that leads to drugs.
And the same thing applies to the guy who tends his herds and flocks in the scrub of the Syrian waste. And that's probably a bit of bigotry on my part, because I just look at the Middle East and I see one great goddamn big desert.
Well, for the most part, but there's way more to it than that. But again, think about it, though. What's the other factor that we're leaving out of this? Yes, most people want to feel integrated, that they're part of, that, you know, that they're normal, that they're human, that they're going to be. We're dealing with this here with the gender.
Nobody wants to be the other.
Nobody wants to be the other. But we also have a fucking bunch of people. Like I said, you understand my background. We've talked about it. Who are the 5%? Who are the 10%? Who are the 85 fucking percent? You still have 10% of the fucking population in any given goddamn group who feels that they are better than everybody else, that they shouldn't have to wait online, that they need to have somebody to be better than.
And there is an element to the problem in Europe, and an element to the problem the whole world over, that is not a function of some sort of scientific, unconquerable scientific principle. It's just a function of capitalism. Plain and simple. Because there are people out there with tons and tons and tons and tons of money that they will never, ever spend.
That's right.
And even more people who don't have a 1/1,000,000th of it.
Hey, for Dick Cheney, this is all a game. It's not the money. This is what he does. He is an economic...
Yeah, no. I get it. I get it. There are people for whom this is just... this is blood sport. The Henry Kissingers of the world. The Dick Cheneys of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Just little flesh bags that we move around on a checkerboard. Ha ha! I just jumped you. King me! Right?
Read the grand chessboard. Brzezinski. Right?
Right.
Read that.
Exactly. Hey, Angry, it's been a great conversation, my friend.
All right, my man. Peace. If you can support this show, please, please, please. If you want to hear this type of media, you want to get the real alternative to the fucking mainstream, check out the Bob Kincaid Show. Peace.
Later, Angry. Bye now. I never think of myself as an alternative to the mainstream, but I guess we are. And it's not me, it's us. Not me, us. Hey, that was a hashtag, wasn't it? Still is. Because it's real. And so it is. We close the program at $490 to go in fundraising. And thank you very kindly to Darcy. Thank you, Darcy. I saw that come in. I wanted to make sure I thanked you. $490 to go. By the time we start the program tomorrow, minus any subscriptions that roll in or any little miracles that happen overnight, miracles, we'll have a fundraising goal of $690. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, one and all, for all you do to make this conversation what it is. For what you do to make this community what it is, because you make this community. I don't. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.